There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, fuckers, what up? It's Christina Hutchinson.
And it's Corinne Fisher. You're about to listen to a clip from our show, Guys, We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. But first off, if you want to see us live, all COVID-19 precautions are in play. These are the cities that we'll be at soon. Baltimore, Maryland, we're going to be at Magoobie's Joke House, March 11th through the 13th. St. Louis, we're going to be at Helium, April 1st through the 3rd. Portland, Oregon, we'll also be at Helium, April 22nd. Through the 25th. And then Corinne, that's me, I'm going to be at Good Nights in Raleigh, North Carolina, April 29th through the May 1st.
And on that same weekend, I'm going to be at Philadelphia, woo-woo, at Helium. And then in Kansas City, Missouri, we're going to be at the Improv together, May 14th and May 15th.
Yeah, so get your tickets. Those are available at sorryaboutlastnightcomedy.com, where you can get them all in one space. And this is an email episode. We're doing bonus email episodes now. So get those questions in if you have them at sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. But we talk about
Mormons ruining your life,
mm-hmm.
being in love with your best friend's ex, a video of your husband penetrating himself anally after he refuses to let you finger his asshole,
and you don't know what to do,
and an old hag who's never had a crush.
Yes, that's right. We'll tackle all these and more. And if you want to hear the entire episode, you're going to head over to luminarypodcasts.com and get a subscription for as little as $2.99 a month. You're going to get all their exclusive content, including the C Word podcast from Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, Roxanne Gay's podcast, Here to Slay, Russell Brand, Michael Rappaport, just a lot of good content on there with a really high quality.
All right, subject line. This is a good one. Old hag, never had a crush. Hi, Corinne and Christina. I have a confession. I'm 36 years old. I have dated, I've had serious boyfriends, and I have loved and cared, that's in quotes, but I have never been in love, head over heels, obsessed, and imagining our life together and always. Honestly, the last time I remember having a crush was in the 6th grade. Butterflies and cute blushing. That's called anxiety. Over. First guy I've ever dated, I knew there was an end. Yeah, we all do. They have all been more into me than I was into them. And honestly, I would just enter into the relationship thinking, he's a good dude, boring, less educated, less motivated, and a bigger mess than me. But he's a good dude. What's good about him?
Yeah.
What is so wrong with me that I can't love him? He's a loser.
Yeah.
Okay. True, I have learned to love someone, a Marine, who basically wore me down and taught me to love him when I was 22.
That sounds toxic.
Yep. More importantly, he taught me how to be loved, even though, turns out, 5 years later, he was not, in fact, divorced.
Okay, so he didn't teach you how to love.
No,
I'm sorry.
He just manipulated
you. This is all
you.
Messed up.
Uh-huh. The standards for men are so low. You say that again. The closest I've ever been to being head over heels, romantically in love and infatuated was my longest relationship, 9 months. A real record, I know. Girl, you gotta figure out, you gotta reword your self-talk. It was romantic, it was a romantic fling at first. But again, from the beginning, I knew it was temporary. And honestly, I was over it about 5 months in. But we stayed together for the real estate and because I wanted to have a long-term relationship for once. Yeah, but that's not really what you wanted. In the end, he just failed to bring anything to my life and held me back again. Honestly, my biggest regret about that relationship was the night we accidentally ended up at a swingers after party. And the husband wanted me to play with him. Sadly, dumb blind bitch style, I didn't realize what was happening, so I declined. And because they were respectful and consent conscious, they didn't press me. Oh, consent conscious. They didn't press me. Missed out on that one because of my dumb bitch blindness. Anyway, Now I live alone, not even a roommate. Hell yeah, I am financially independent, and I completely agree with Corinne. If I do ever end up in a relationship, he will live next door. And we will have a cleaning service for both apartments and a mini poodle. Aww. I've had boyfriends break up with me because I paid for dinner when they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Every man I have ever dated has played the "you aren't like other women" backhanded slap to the face. And I have had to break up with at least two guys before I was ready because they wanted kids and a white picket fence and I couldn't consciously waste their time. Mm-hmm. Good for you. I haven't had sex in about 3 years, and honestly, I don't miss it. Especially after my last Bumble date where the guy basically said that without aggressive butt play, he couldn't come.
I can't with these people.
Just save that, you know? Just save it for after you fuck.
Imagine having the fucking gall to say that to somebody.
The first date. You guys.
I can't come if you don't have a career and motivation. Oops, Corinne Fisher never came again.
I am not against this in any way, trust me, but I am against this new standard of sex where men need to go to the extremes to be satisfied.
Porn.
Amen, girlfriend. Once had a good guy confess to me he couldn't come with me because he jerked off to porn 3 to 4 times a day to relieve stress. Some bullshit. Anyway, my question is, I guess it's a question since y'all need this email to be a question and not just scream into the bit void. I don't think I am made for a relationship.
That was what I was going to tell her. I was like, I just don't think you want one. It's right. Like you're not made for one.
Am I the only one? No. Love the podcast. I started listening about 4 years ago. I started at the beginning despite being behind. Loved it until the episode where Christina's manipulative ex came on the show. I was so disgusted by his gaslighting and obvious insecurities. I had to take a break. I was disappointed. Girl, me too. Imagine dating that for 7 years, huh? But this year I became a Luminary subscriber because it's important to see how far people can grow, change, and empower themselves. Well, thank you for giving me a shot.
And then she just wrote, "The end is near." At the end of the email, she wrote, "The end is near." I don't know, but I love it. This is a cryptic bitch.
I know.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, the conclusion I had come to earlier in the email, because most times, I mean, we've done this so long that usually the answer is screaming at us by the time we get to the last paragraph. And the way you're wording it is kind of attacking yourself, as is the whole email. And
you're forcing yourself to be in relationships.
Yeah, exactly. It's like everything is saying, like, you're great on your own. And every time you get in a relationship, it's bringing you down. And I hear that for sure. So it's like, why are you? But I think you need to look into this, because I think for me, there is still something in me, in the real me, not the, you know, society affected me, that does want a relationship. But it's a very specific type of thing, because obviously I function well in partnerships, you know, i.e. sorry about last night, guys, we fucked.
Ooh.
And also, you know, I'm without a country. I like working with other people. It's good for me because I spend a lot of time alone and I like that. But then when I'm working, I like to bounce ideas off other people. So that's very good for me. And I think the same rings true for me in relationships. It would be fun for me to experience life with someone else because I don't need that training of being alone. I've already done that for myself. I've mastered being alone. I'm quite good at it. But so you have to interrogate your own feelings. Do you want a relationship? Is there something in you, the real you, not the society affected you, that wants a relationship? Or are you just doing what so many people do? And that's feeling like you need to be in a relationship because that's the standard that society has set for heterosexual women, and says that we haven't done it all. We haven't, you know, gotten to pass go. We haven't gotten to collect everything that is collectible in life if we are not in a relationship with a man, whether it be, you know, sharing a house or getting married or having that engagement photo. Like, what is it that is appealing to you? And then secondly, is you're picking the wrong men. And I don't know why.
Hey, I've been there. You've heard it, bitch.
Yeah.
It happens, all right?
You are. Well, see, yours was clearer. Like,
it wasn't clear to me.
Was more of like a reflection on the things that you were dealing with in your own self. And it's interesting because a lot of times people will argue, like, women pick losers because it's how they feel about themselves. But obviously, I've dated losers, and it really isn't. And I've done the work. It's not because of how I feel about myself. So it's like, and I think this woman is seemingly a little bit more similar to me.
Yeah.
And so I don't know why we do this. Maybe we think it will be easier. For me, a pattern I found is that men who are losers will devote more time to adoring you, which is one thing, conclusion that I came to. Like, you know, so I like men to adore me, because why else would I invite one into my lives if they weren't going to adore me? And mm-hmm. when you don't have a job, you have a lot of free time to adore your partner.
You would think.
So that's one thing. But beyond that, you know, and I've gotten better at it. Like, why would you have someone who needs all this help? I mean, maybe it's like some, you know, women who achieve a lot have a lot of extra energy, so we like to help people. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but you're obviously picking like the wrong people. I don't think you need to feel butterflies. Again, I do agree with Christina that a lot of times that's anxiety, the feelings that you had as a child in school, or the feelings that we see in TV and movies. I don't think those are healthy. I think that's what we've been tricked into believing a healthy relationship is. But it also shouldn't be someone who like whose resume you're embarrassed to share with your friends and family. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. You should be proud of this person, who they are individually, as well as who you are when you compliment each other in a relationship. So yeah. There's a lot of questions that you have to ask yourself that we won't know the answers to.
Yeah, only you know the answers, girl.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems like you have a pretty good head on your shoulders because of your standards for yourself. And honestly, kudos to you for stopping listening to the show when we highlighted a guy that you thought was like a piece of shit. That's to me is like good for you. I don't know, do you want a relationship or not? I certainly don't believe that a relationship is for everyone, though, and if that's like one of the main questions. And I don't think there's anything wrong with you if you don't find yourself being compatible with anyone, but you can recalling in the one. That might be helpful if you're like, it's a little hard because it's an activity book. So it's hard during COVID-19 to really like go out into the world and do the things.
Or they give you assignments.
But yeah, that's like a way to, at least you can say, well, I really gave it, you know, my all. I really tried to get into a relationship. And then if you fail at it, if you failed at something, giving it your all, that to me says, oh, maybe it really isn't for you. You know? So if you're curious and you have the time, that's something to do.
Yeah.
All right. I found a video of my husband penetrating himself anally, and I don't know what to do. Oh, God.
Email us.
I can't. Hey, Corinne and Christina, have been a loyal listener for the past few years and really appreciate you both opening up your lives to us and providing many laughs. I found myself in a situation that has left me uneasy and confused. My husband and I have known each other for a decade, dated for 7 years, and been married for almost 2 years now. I've not always been as sexually adventurous inclined as him, but I've committed myself to making sex a priority in our relationship.
Nice.
Today, I was trying to clear up space on my computer to download the new Mac iOS.
Uh-oh.
My husband has his own account on my computer, and I noticed that he had large files that were taking up space.
It's taking up space in his asshole. Hey, fuckers. Thanks for listening to that clip from our bonus email episode. We're going to be releasing two episodes a week, one email every Sunday. If you want to hear more, go to luminarypodcast.com, where you can get us a month free trial and you could pay us for a subscription. It's $2.99 a month. Go do it. Come on.
You can do this.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.